Hello, libertarians, conservatives, anarchists, and old guys with a cannon in their front yard. This is Jonesing for Liberty, and I'm your host, Rod Jones. Don't forget, Jonesing for Liberty is a podcast. It is a project of Bipartisan Media, and you can find our website at bipartisanmedia.com. That's BIPARTISANmedia.com. And you can contact us and myself anytime through the email bipartisanpodcast@gmail.com. That's bipartisanpodcast@gmail.com. And today, my special guest is Jay, the man behind Anarcho Inc., and we'll be getting into what Anarcho Inc. is exactly later in the show and talking about his projects and what he does. But first, as always, let's go through the current events. So, the first issue that we are going to discuss today in our current events section is the new North Korean missile. So, according to the Wall Street Journal, the short-range missiles tested by North Korea recently can strike much of South Korea and may be able to carry a nuclear warhead, military experts said, providing Pyongyang with extra firepower as diplomatic frictions grow with Washington. Pyongyang test-fired a pair of short-range missiles Thursday that soared to a height of about 31 miles before landing in the sea off the country's east coast. Leader Kim Jong-un directed the test and lauded the weapon's, quote, long-range strike, end quote, capabilities, according to North Korean state media, which provided little other detail. So, Jay, what's your opinion on all this? What do you think this means for North Korea? Does it mean anything, or is it just another show of force in an attempt to lower sanctions?
Well, I guess my first is, where are my nukes? I want some nukes. And secondly, I don't know. It could be a distraction. It could be a show of force. And not that, you know, I voted for Donald Trump. But with Trump in office, I don't think we have much to worry about with North Korea. Let's have some recreational nukes, and maybe no one will be nuking each other.
That's a good idea. No, but the thing that concerns me is that, I mean, obviously it's a little concerning that we have these weapons, but personally I don't think it will amount to much.
No.
Whereas, but it is still concerning that after all these negotiations that we've had with North Korea, still nothing is getting done. It's kind of frustrating. But then again, it's going to be hard to do anything when you're dealing with someone as unreasonable as Kim Jong-un. So
yeah, again, you know, another joke. He's friends with Dennis Rodman, so we'll be all right.
There we go. So to our next current events story. Let's talk about AI, because really, who doesn't want to talk about AI? Now, not just AI, but robots specifically in Sweden are doing jobs that, quote, humans find too boring, end quote. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the common arguments against automation is that, well, you know, these robots are going to steal jobs from humans, and all these humans will be unemployed. But that's a whole other discussion that we can get into later, perhaps, but this article is talking specifically about how this wood company, this logging company and paper mm-hmm. company in Sweden, and there are mm-hmm. tons of really boring, annoying jobs to do, like watching wood pulp cook for hours on end and tracking parasite bugs on satellite photos and handling lengthy legal documents, according to Bloomberg. But humans don't have to do these jobs anymore because this Swedish company, called Billerud Korsnäs, I believe, I hope I pronounced that correctly.
That's all right.
Has been using artificial intelligence and robots to do these jobs that humans don't want to do.
Right.
So what do you think about this, Jay? What does this mean?
So AI, it's a hot word in tech today, and being somebody who works as a developer / software engineer in tech, the two things we need to be careful for when somebody starts throwing the words AI around: are we, you know, approaching singularity? No, absolutely not. And second of all, AI is being used as a marketing term just to push, you know, hot new tech that necessarily isn't really artificial intelligence. What we're really talking about at the end of the day And if you're a developer, you'll know what this means, but in essentially it's an if then else statement. So if you want to do this, then do that, then else do this, you know, sort of thing. And I know that's not technically correct, but that's all we're really talking now about. Now, we, you know, the machines are getting smarter. You know, they are collecting data, and there, you know, there is the facial recognition, right? And really what we should be concerned about with citizens is privacy, right, when it comes to artificial intelligence. And everybody's worried about AI taking their jobs, but, you know, we have to look at, you know, the Industrial Revolution when we had, you know, machines, you know, the first, you know, invention of, you know, factory machines. Not everybody lost their jobs. People were able to find work doing other things. So, you know, I don't think we're going to need that. And to my dear friend Yang for president, the idea of UBI or universal basic income because of AI, I don't think it's, we're not going to need it.
Right. So do you have a response to, with as someone who has some experience in this field, do you, what's your response to people who say, well, you know, the AI is going to steal our jobs, and then we'll have a bunch of unemployed people? What's your response to that?
My response there is, I don't think it's going to happen. Again, I don't have a crystal ball, and I can't look into the future. But what I have to say is, let's look at history and look at the Industrial Revolution. And, you know, people were able to find jobs after the Industrial Revolution doing other things. At the end of the day, we're going to need people to service these robots. We're going to need people to service the artificial intelligence. And what I'm saying is, you don't need to go learn to code, right? The thing that everybody, you know, what I'm saying is, we need project managers. We're going to need people to project management this stuff, right? We're going to need people to, we're going to need writers to write technical documentation for what was built and developed, right? So we're going to need these sort of still administrative type jobs. And I think there'll be other, you know, other types of jobs coming out for people.
Yeah. So next is a story that I don't know if many of our listeners have heard of it, but it's been going around the internet recently. And basically, a man in, I believe it was...
Oh, the Molarning, yeah, in Florida. Dunedin, Florida.
A man in Dunedin, Florida. This poor guy. I mean, this is just a story, an example of how crazy government policy is, because all of the laws are set in stone and the administrators make no exceptions. For instance, the story is this guy in Florida, okay? He... according to the article by a local television station.
Yeah.
Jim Ficken returned home last summer to find the grass in his yard grew more than 10 inches tall. He had spent most of his time in South Carolina helping to take care for his late mother's estate.
Right.
Ficken says the man who mowed his yard unexpectedly died and the grass hadn't been cut. City code enforcement officers noticed and started fining Ficken $500 a day, according to a lawsuit filed Tuesday in Pinellas County. The fines mounted to nearly $30,000 before the city even notified Ficken of the problem. Quote, "That's about 5 or 6 years of living expenses for me, so they're really trying to take about 5 years of my life," he said. And now, apparently, there's a non-profit, I don't know if it's a non-profit, but there's a civil law firm that's representing him in a suit against the city for this. So there's a lot to go through here, but this is basically just a story of government overreach and really just how idiotic these policies can be at times. So do you have an opinion on this?
Yeah, again, so just to your point, this is one of those ridiculous laws, and this is an example of when we have any sort of government. I mean, we had limited government and it grew into what we have today. So, you know, excuse me, this is just an absurd overreach of government force and power. And, you know, the poor guy, his grass was 10 inches too long. Oh my gosh. It's a victimless crime, no victim, there should be no law or crime. I mean,
the worst case scenario the worst case scenario here is that his neighbors think that he's a slob or something. How does that affect the city in any way?
Right. So it doesn't. But I will say, you know, owning a home next to somebody who didn't keep up with their house, it makes it harder to sell your home, you know. But then again, you know, that's the only thing, you know. So, it's his property, his rights, you know. Now, if he wasn't the property owner, you know, but this is just an overreach. And frankly, if his neighbors were kind enough, maybe they would have just mowed the lawn for him, right?
No, it's interesting because, you know, what actually happened is after he was notified that he had owed $30,000 in fees to the city for something like this, he actually appealed to it. And he went to the government and he said, here are the circumstances. I was out of town caring for my dead mom's estate and my gardener died. I had no control over the circumstances here.
Right.
You know, I don't deserve these fines. And
for
some reason, the city still refused to let up the fines, and that's why he's suing them. So
yeah, I would. Yeah, it's yep.
Yeah,
yeah,
we need more good lawyers like this team that's serving him for free.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when he's done, he should grow some pot leaves in the front of his lawn.
There we go. So next up, this is probably the most publicized story, and again, why the North Korea story isn't what a larger story, I don't know. But yesterday, a lot of media attention went to Ben Shapiro and the BBC. Because, in case you didn't hear, Ben Shapiro went on for an interview with a BBC host. And there's a lot of back and forth on both sides, because Ben Shapiro ended the interview early and basically insulted the guy because he felt attacked personally by the interviewer. Now, my opinion on this, before we're going to play some audio. We're going to play a few, probably about a total of 5 minutes of audio. We're going to go through a few pieces, and we're going to look at the beginning, the middle, and then the end of the interview when he stormed out. Because a lot of the media is just focusing on the end part. Now, my opinion is that, yes, Ben Shapiro was treated unfairly because this interviewer obviously had he was obviously trying to get gotcha questions, and he had all of this information in front of him from a few select things that Ben Shapiro had said over the years. But at the same time, obviously, Ben Shapiro ending the interview didn't look good for him, and it definitely didn't look good for conservative Americans over in Britain. So I don't agree with how he handled it, but I do agree that I do think that he was treated unfairly. So let's take a listen. First, first we'll look at a portion of the beginning of the interview.
Haven't you lost your battle for the Republican Party, though? Isn't the Republican Party now the party of Trump?
No, I mean, I think that the Republican Party is always the party of whomever is the president, technically speaking. But in terms of who are the sort of the thought leaders inside the conservative movement, who are the people who are driving a lot of the discussion inside the conservative movement, I don't think that's correct at all. I think that most Republicans see President Trump as a vehicle for their policy preferences, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they agree with all of his personal foibles or the way that he behaves or the things that he says. And I think a lot of Republicans respond in anger to the media attacking President Trump mainly out of a reactionary and half-appropriate upset that the media seem to have a double standard when it comes to covering certain politicians.
I'm interested that you think there's a thought movement inside the
So at the beginning, you can see it's pretty friendly back and forth. The host is asking questions. Ben Shapiro is responding. Now let's go a little more into the middle of the interview to about 3 minutes and 40 seconds in, and we'll see things start to get a little more heated.
Intellectual sneering of the highest order to suggest that only the left has new and decent ideas.
Some of the ideas that are popular in your side of politics would seem to take us back to the Dark Ages, Georgia, new abortion laws, which you are much in favor of, that a woman who miscarries could get 30 years A Georgian woman who travels to another state for an abortion procedure could get 10 years. These are extreme hard policies.
Well, okay, a couple of things. One, I'm not sure. I mean, frankly, I don't know whether you're... Are you an objective journalist or are you an opinion journalist?
I'm a journalist that asks questions.
So we can see things start to heat up here.
Okay, so you're a supposedly objective journalist calling policies with which you disagree barbaric and suggesting only one side of the political aisle has ideas. So I just want to point out that...
No, I know that
I wish you would at least be honest in your own biases.
Mr. Shapiro, I know that broadcasting in America is now so polarized that on one program you only have the left and another one you just have the right. My job is to question those who have strong views and put an alternative to them. If you were an anti-abortion person, I would be putting pro-abortion questions to you. But you are
really, would you call the pro-choice
person.
Position?
So why don't you just answer my question?
Sir, I'm happy to answer your question. Please answer this one. Would you suggest that a late-term abortion is brutal?
I'm not taking a view on this issue. I'm asking you the questions.
So basically we see in the middle, it starts heating up a little more. Ben Shapiro goes on the defensive here and starts getting angry at this BBC host. And what I find kind of annoying is that while I don't agree with everything Ben Shapiro says, the mainstream media is taking the end clip of this and not showing the whole, not showing parts throughout the interview, as we are here. And... Excuse me. And they're loving this host here because he's supposedly a British conservative, which we all know is not the same thing as a American conservative. But and the host is being fairly polite, but his questions are anything but. And so most people, when they just hear the end portion, which I'll play for you in a minute, in a few minutes here, just hear Ben Shapiro freaking out, and they don't care about the host's actions. So let's move on a little farther in to about 7 minutes in for a short bit, and then we'll move on to the end part that everyone's talking about.
Now, you're a star of new media, of conservative new media. You and others on the left and the right, you position yourselves as supposed tellers of hard truths. But haven't you all just really coarsened public discourse in America and exacerbated its divisions?
You know, it's kind of odd to be hearing about me coarsening public discourse when you call policies you disagree with brutal and bringing us back to the Dark Ages, sir.
The point I don't want to return to, but the point was to put a position for you to reply to it. And I thought we'd covered that.
I'll put some of
the points to it, because on your
characterization of issues is part of the problem in the coarsening of public debate.
Well, maybe it's also part of your problem, too, because we have from your YouTube videos, Ben Shapiro destroys the abortion argument. Ben Shapiro destroys transgenderism and abortion. Is that not a kind of coarse public discourse?
Well, are those videos labeled by me?
I have no idea. But
why are you picking out? Why are you? I have a question. Why are you picking out random YouTube videos put up by people who are not me?
Are you
and then attributing the titles to me?
Are you unhappy with the way they've been described?
So this is kind of still kind of shaky. Now let's move on to the part that everyone's playing, the last 2 minutes of this clip. So let's go to 12 minutes in.
That if you are I believe that if you are somebody who takes Judaism seriously, that comes along with ideological commitment.
I mean, I guess.
Also, I hope you're having fun, by the way, going through every old tweet that I've ever sent to try and do gotcha questions. But if you'd like to have a discussion about my general philosophy or things I've done in, say, I don't know, that's 2012, so it's now 2019. If you'd like to discuss something I've done in, say, like the past 5 years, why don't we do that? How about that?
Well, because your book is a criticism of how angry America is and how America has to do better. And I'm simply
I have an entire list
out,
on my website, sir. Sir, on my list, I have an entire website of dumb and bad things that I've said.
I'm simply trying to point out some of the things you've said that seem to me to help to stoke that anger. For example, you said, Israelis like to build, Arabs like to bomb crap and live in open sewage.
Well, as I say in an article entitled, here's a list of all the giant, bad, dumb things I've ever said.
Was that
list
dumb?
Well, yes, that's a dumb tweet. And not only, but it is also important to mention that the next few tweets clarify that that tweet is specifically referring to the Hamas leadership, which, no. by the way, a BBC I've seen is relatively reticent to condemn.
No, actually, it wasn't what you went on to do and say. You are correct about the slur on Arabs. It's not all Arabs that want to live in open sewage and blow things up. It's just Palestinians, you went on to say.
The Palestinian Arab population
is rotten to the core, you went on to say. Not Hamas. Arab population.
I say that by poll numbers, they elected Hamas. They elected Hamas. They educate their children in school that Israel should be obliterated, sir.
I guess
if you want to read, this is a giant waste of time in the sense that the entire interview is designed for you to shout slogans or old things that I've said at me. I don't see how this forwards the debate. You talk about undermining the public discourse. It seems to me that simply going through and finding lone things that sound bad out of context and then hitting people with them is a way for you to make a quick buck on BBC off the fact that I'm popular and no one has ever heard of you.
There are not many bucks to be made on the BBC, unlike American broadcasting, Mr. Shapiro. The point I'm trying to make is that your words are hardly designed to produce the consensus.
I've never heard of you.
I've never heard of you until I briefed myself for this, but that's not the issue. You have a
new
book.
Then why the hell are you interviewing
me,
sir?
It's an interesting book. But my point is, your book claims that society...
Well, it'd be nice if you would quote it from time to time.
Your book is... Well, actually, I've done so several times, and I'm about to do so again, if you would let me just finish the question. Your book claims that society is turning its back on Judeo-Christian values. What are those values? What are the values it's turning its back on?
I'm not inclined to continue an interview with a person as badly motivated as you as an interviewer. So I think we're done here. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for your time and for showing that anger is not part of American political discourse. Now, Mr. Shapiro, we'll say goodbye.
So that's the clip. I know it was long, sorry, but I want to make sure that you get the full context of it. So, full story, afterwards, Ben Shapiro apologized for this, and some people are saying that he shouldn't have. I think he should have. Do you have any opinions on this, Jay, before we move on to our...
It's really just the whole thing's kind of ridiculous. Look, if it was me making those comments or tweets, this guy or nobody else would care. Frankly, I think we forgot about, sticks and stones may, break my bones, but words will never hurt me sort of thing. It really is ridiculous. We forget about freedom of speech. And frankly, I think the whole thing is just an escapade for clickbait and views, really. And what media is going to do is, take that last clip where he gets upset and be like, oh, look, Ben Shapiro, he's a giant jerk.
Right, pretty much. So there you have it, I guess. And now we'd like to move on to our libertarian update for the... For the section, we're going to not be doing our Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness segment today, unfortunately, but don't worry, we'll be back next week with that. So, moving on to our libertarian update, we will be discussing who are the libertarians exactly that are running for president. 1 minute. All right, so... Jay, let's discuss the libertarians that are running for president and what exactly, who are they, how many are there, and what are their policies. Let's take a look at this. So, according to beinglibertarian.com, which is a favorite libertarian blog of mine, they released a list of the libertarians running for president. And we have a person, honestly, I feel bad because I've never heard of most of these people. But I believe that you, Jay, actually interviewed or at least talked about one of these candidates on your show, correct?
Yeah, I think one or two candidates.
Right. Unfortunately, I don't know a whole. I've never heard of most of these, but first we have to address that. What's his name? Weld. Bill Weld is running apparently against Trump, which I find quite hilarious, actually, because I don't know how he's going to defeat him just because of how much support Trump has currently. But putting that aside, unfortunately, Weld is not running under the Libertarian banner this time.
So let's be thankful for that, really.
Yeah, fair enough. So now let's look at some of the other candidates. We have, according to beinglibertarian.com, Adam Kokesh. I believe I'm pronouncing that name correctly.
Yeah.
Technically, this is a guy that I think you'll like, Jay. Technically, Kokesh is running for not president on the platform of dissolving the federal government. Kokesh is a longtime activist, mostly on the issue of war, being a veteran himself. Kokesh has made waves in libertarian circles for his impressive arrest record, mostly because of his activism. Kokesh has raised just over $1,300 in his bid for ridding the nation of its highest office, which is good for second in the Libertarian Party, but obviously shadowed by any major candidate. So, according to Third Party Watch, Kokesh is receiving about 34% of the vote in the five-man field. And if you go to his website, which I have, he actually has quite the detailed plan for just how he's going to dissolve the federal government almost completely constitutionally. So that's quite interesting. Do you have anything to say on this particular candidate?
I don't know much about Adam. I've heard things here and there. I mean, you know, let's run through the list and I'll just give my general opinions about the whole Libertarian presidential candidacy.
All right. Next up is Arvin Vohra. Second is the controversial Arvin Vohra. Vohra is notorious for his bold and radical style, and he was elected vice chair of the Libertarian Party in 2014, but was later defeated. He ran for Senate in Maryland in 2018, but finished fourth with 1% of the vote, unfortunately. He has also run for the Maryland House of Delegates and the U.S. House of Representatives. He was included in the poll, but gained no support. So I don't know how far he'll get in the primary. Next up is Benjamin Leder. He is the chair of the Libertarian Party in Henderson County, Texas, and the state coordinator for the Radical Caucus. He's a veterinarian and a small business owner and announced his presidential bid in March 2018, around the time he was elected to leadership positions within the party. And he doesn't particularly... I don't think his website works. Oh, yes, it does. Although he doesn't have a lot of platform planks on his website as of yet, since he just launched. But he does have a lot of examples of interviews, actually. And, so unfortunately we don't have much on him. But moving on to the next person, we have Dan Behrman, which I believe is one of the people that you interviewed or talked about on your podcast.
Yep.
Yes, Dan Taxation is Theft Behrman is running for president, and yes, that will be his name on the ballot. At least it's what he put on his FEC filing. The party activist, known for his colorful hat with the saying on it, has raised over $700 in his campaign, good for third in the party. He is not an anarchist, claiming on his website that the government should work for the people. He does believe in no coercion and no taxation, though. His name has not been listed on any major polls, but he did previously run for state house in Texas, losing to the Democrat 77% to 23%. But honestly, I'm impressed that that a Libertarian was able to get almost a quarter of the vote against a Democrat. That's quite impressive. Moving on to the last few here, we have Kimberly Ruff, who is the only candidate running with a running mate this early. Her presidential bid includes vice presidential candidate John Phillips. She's the secretary of the Libertarian Party Radical Caucus and is from Arizona. She is leading the party in fundraising with almost $6,000, but she hasn't been included on any major polls. Her ground effort has been substantial, though, so she certainly isn't one to exclude, according to beinglibertarian.com. And the last few, we have John McAfee, who is the creator of the software company McAfee Associates, and he is running for president largely on the platform of cybersecurity, which he ran on in 2016 as well. McAfee is best known as an eccentric millionaire. He has fled custody many times and would likely be the first president to have been deported from Guatemala. He claims to not have filed taxes in more than 8 years and is being investigated for the 2012 murder of Gregory Vaillant Fall, his business partner, in Belize. He obviously denies this. He's a supporter of recreational hard drugs and prostitution, not only politically, but in his personal life. And moving on from that is the last one, Sam Cedar, who is a progressive talk radio host. He's not officially declared, but in the earlier mentioned third-party watch poll, he polled in first place. The irony of this, of course, is that Cedar is running ironically. He is an outspoken critic of American libertarianism and the Libertarian Party. So that's honestly the most interesting part of this report, is that the candidate who's running as a joke is polling at 1% in the Libertarian Party. So that's interesting.
Yeah, so I've interviewed Dan, Taxation is Theft, and I've interviewed Kim Ruff as well on my show, Anarcho Inc. And, you know, although Anarcho Inc. is about business and tech, we, you know, you can't help but get into politics. So, you know, that's why we have the candidates on our show. For me, you know, there's recently a word that I found about, you know, I think what the Libertarian Party and presidential candidates are about, and it's political crusading, right? You know, it's this idea of spreading the ideas of liberty, right? You know, freedom, everything that libertarianism is about through running for political office.
Right.
Well, you know, will we ever see a libertarian president? I don't know. I really hope so in my lifetime. But at this point, you know, for me, I've just given up on the idea of government altogether, and I'm opting out. You know, I'm just right. kind of, I want to opt out of the state completely, and just, you know, become self-sufficient. But, you know, more power to those people who have the patience with dealing in government that way. I just think we've, you know, our government has just become too tyrannical, really.
Right. Well, a good sign that I see is I actually wrote an article on this on the studentpost.org, which you can find at studentpost.org/author/Rod Jones. I wrote an article about how a lot of the younger generation, my generation kind of people, are actually leaning a lot more towards libertarianism because they've become disillusioned with the Republican and Democratic parties, and a lot of them are libertarian. Because it's the meet in the middle party, it's the common sense party. Mm-hmm. And so that's, hopefully we'll see a big surge later in our lifetimes. But
that's great to hear. Yeah.
Soon.
Yeah, and that's the idea. You know, my generation is kind of out there spreading the message through, you know, whatever means possible, right? Political crusading, podcasting, blog posts, videos, you know, any sort of new media, old media, and that's really there, is just kind of getting the message out there and really teaching your generation not to fall for what we fell for, which was the fake American dream, which was, you know, to go into debt, right? And you know, go to college, make debt, buy a house, have kids, get married, which just leaves you with a life of debt.
Right.
So, you know, so.
The big lie, of course, is that it's impossible to get a good job and go to a good college and have a family without going into debt. But that's a topic for another time.
Yeah, that's a topic for another day. Yeah, yeah. There are ways around that, and that's what Anarcho Inc. is about, you know, so people can check it out.
And we'll actually that's perfect because we'll be getting right into that right after the break.
Okay,
so
great.
So let's take the break and go into a few ads, and we'll be back to discuss Anarcho Inc. and ask a few other questions about libertarianism, have a really good discussion with Jay. So, let's go. With so much content whizzing around out there, there's only one storytelling platform that helps you keep calm, stay informed, and inspired. Flipboard. Flipboard curates the world's stories so that you can be smarter in your work, life, and play. Choose from thousands of topics to personalize Flipboard, and get the latest stories from the best publishers and experts delivered to you 24/7. When you see stories that you want to save or share, tap the plus button to add them to private or public collections. It's that simple. Used by millions of people every day, Flipboard is how people move themselves and the world forward. Get started now at Flipboard.com. That's Flipboard.com. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? when I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show into all the apps that people like to listen on? How do I make money for my podcast? Obviously, the most important question. The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means that you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Everybody, welcome back to Jonesing for Liberty. So, first off, Jay, as we get into our discussion and our interview, let's just talk about you first. Let's introduce yourself to the audience. What do you do, and what is the Anarcho Inc.?
Yeah, so my name's Jay. I'm the host, owner, founder of Anarcho Inc., which is also the owner of a bunch of sub-businesses, which we'll get into shortly. So essentially, by day, I'm a director of web for a venture capital firm. And by night, I'm a side hustler just trying to seek freedom, trying to find financial freedom, and, basically... be self-sufficient and sustainable away from any sort of government, which is extremely hard to do these days, but that's what Anarcho Inc. is about, really.
Right. So what is the overall goal of Anarcho Inc.? Or did you pretty much just say so?
No, I think the overall goal is to, get the message out there about, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, right? Peace, love, and anarchy, right? Provide people with ideas about entrepreneurship, right? And not only that, I had a podcast recently. Not everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. So what are some ways, without being an entrepreneur, that you can be, self-sufficient and not rely on any sort of government, or bank loans or things like that, right? So we talk about agorism, right? And if you don't know what that is, then I would recommend Googling it. But, we talk about sustainability, and try to interview different types of leaders in the space and just people who have different ideas, about permaculture, gardening, those sort of things, and even, the ideas of cryptocurrency and other blockchain technologies to stay private online. Those are the goals of Anarcho Inc. And then there's my personal goals, which is, to raise capital to sustain my lifestyle and, work for myself 100%. That way I can be home with my family where we enjoy homeschooling. Because I really think, what we've built in America today is this idea of becoming multimillionaires and getting rich and having these jobs that make us, $500,000 a year and owning big houses with, the white picket fence and five cars in the driveway. And I think we need to get away from that. I think we need to rebuild our families. Spend more time with our families instead of sitting, 2 hours in traffic each day. Those are really the goals of Anarcho Inc.
Right. And so speaking of your podcast, you have one. And it's quite interesting. I know that I listen to almost every episode you put out, as much as I remember to.
And appreciate that.
I always have a great time listening to the podcast because there's always so many, you have so many interesting guests on. So
yeah.
What are a few example of guests you've had on recently, and why should my listeners also be interested in your podcast?
Yeah, so we talked to libertarian candidates for running for president. We talked to people building tech, like a gentleman who started a company called Gaibiro, which is an uncensored anonymous search engine. We talked to, you know, I've talked to an economist turned graffiti artist, really just talking to these different types of people who might plant a seed or give you an idea, to live your lifestyle, basically government free, really.
Right. Very interesting. So how and why did you start Anarcho Inc.?
Yeah, so I started it basically recording, you know, just with Audacity, and the, you know, first few episodes are just of myself, right? Because, you know, as you start, and you know, you're for, you know, anybody starting a podcast, I mean, frankly, I think there are more podcasts than there are people now, but you know, so. You know, I just started, your first few episodes are going to be horrible. It gets better as you go along. You figure out what equipment you need, what tech works for you. I run my site on WordPress, self-hosted WordPress, you know, and that's because just by day I'm a WordPress developer. It's the platform I'm most familiar with. And again, the why is just getting the message of you know, anarchism and liberty, and anarchism is not this idea of, you know, socialism or chaos. It's really about freedom, you know, and freedom from the government.
And that reminds me, do you have anything to say in regards to the anarcho-communists, as I believe they call them? Do what you want to do? Have a community, look, don't mess with me kind of people, or are you like, no, they're not real libertarians?
I would say, you know, people ask like, well, what would you do with pedophiles or whatever, you know, with anarchy? And I, you know, a joke I like to say from a friend of mine, you know, he says there'll be a pedo pit and we'll just put them in the pedo pit and they can stay in the pedo pit. So, you know, the idea of communism just doesn't work. We know it doesn't work just from history. I don't believe in communism, nor am I, you know, a big fan of socialism. But am I not going to talk to you? No, I just actually recently interviewed somebody from the Libertarian Anti-Fascist Party, which was also, I guess, which is a subset of Antifa, which I didn't know. But it's not like I got upset, you know. Did I agree with everything that person said? Probably not, but I listened to them, and that's the important thing, is to just treat each other as humans, right? So it's this idea of the non-aggression principle and peace. If you want to have a communist thing, you can do it over there. Good luck with it. It's probably not going to work. I'm all more about the free market and capitalism, you know, and let the markets provide. So
All right. So when and how did you get into the liberty movement?
Yeah, so like most people, I think it started with Ron Paul back in 2008. But really, I think I've always had, you know, these aggressions towards government. And I think it started when I started working. I got my first real paycheck, like on the books, not under the table or anything. And I went to HR and I was just like, hey, what is this SSI stuff and what is this FED? I didn't know really why was all this money coming out of my paycheck, because I was like expecting to make X amount of dollars and I really received, you know, X, you know, so XX amount of dollars, and I only got X amount of dollars, right? So it was like Social Security, federal income tax, state income tax, Medicaid. And I was like, I don't want any of this. I want to opt out of it. And human resources laughed at me. He's like, you can't. That's the government. And I was like, what do you mean I can't opt out? I don't want it. Like, I'll take care of my own Social Security. Like, I'll put away for myself. Like, I don't. And so that's really that's the story I like telling, is that when I start all of my money disappearing to the government and not knowing where it goes, and then later after Ron Paul learning where it really goes, which is to wars and to the, you know, the endless drug war, the endless wars overseas, you know, Social Security money, which, you know, you or I will probably never see, right?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, and the inflation is terrible. I mean, our whole monetary system is messed up, and I think that's why we have cryptocurrency today.
Right, I agree. So, again, moving to libertarianism in general, what is the most common argument that you hear against libertarianism?
First, who will pay for the roads, right?
The roads, right. because as a society who can do so many things in the somewhat limited free market we have, no one would ever be able to figure out how to build roads.
Right? I think it's the roads, I think it's the bridges, people. And then when you say like privatization, they're gonna be like, well, they're gonna toll, there'll be tolls. And I was probably like, most likely not. I mean, here in New Hampshire, there are a lot of private roads here. There are no tolls to go on those private roads. When it's a private road, means the community on those, in that road, then they maintain it. They
If the road gets messed up, then people come together and shovel some money at a company that comes and paves it.
Or maybe there's somebody locally in that community that is a contractor and will take care of it for them, right?
Even better,
and and then they barter, right? So tons of solutions. Again, we have to stop thinking that government is the solution, and that we ourselves are the solution. And so that's probably the most common argument. And then secondly is security, which is like, what about cops and police? Which again, definitely, there are so many solutions out there for privatization with security.
Very many. Too many to address in this program.
Exactly.
But, yes. And moving on, let's see. What is the best argument for libertarianism in general that you can think of?
Yeah, for me, it's the whole reason I call it Anarcho Inc. It's the free market. We need to start utilizing the free market, and we need more entrepreneurs.
Right, and the greatest thing about how much history of the free market we have behind us now and all these modern studies is that multiple studies have now proven that the free market has lifted more people out of poverty and has helped more people achieve their goals than any other economic or political system in the world. But 100%. some people, of course, just aren't going to accept that. So
No.
So moving on to the next question.
Well, one thing I want to say about that.
Look.
So that's total BS. The free market works. Look, I have another company. You can come check us out on Anarcho Inc. I own AnarchoCoffee.com. I started AnarchoCoffee.com 3 months ago. A lot of people are like, that's a ridiculous name for coffee. But you know what? I'm on the Lions of Liberty podcast right now. Because of my networking and my endless passion and drive, I was able to grow Anarcho Coffee in a matter of 3 months. And it's already making me money that I can use. So, that's the idea of free markets.
Yeah, and American individualism and entrepreneurship.
Right.
Just, you want something, and
you
just gotta go and do it.
Right.
It's beautiful. So, let's see. So, are there any portions of the Libertarian Party platform that you disagree with?
Yeah, I don't. I haven't gone deep enough in the rabbit hole with the libertarian philosophy. I'm trying to read a lot more books. A book I'm reading today is A Renegade History of the United States by Thaddeus Russell. Really enjoying that book. But, you know, I think the one thing, I don't know if we need a libertarian party, and I don't know why we continue to run. I mean, I guess we can have a committee or party or get together meetups. But I don't know, should we be running for, you know, political office? You know, should we be running for political office, or should we try to kind of circumvent the political office? That's one thing I'm still struggling with, but in time will tell.
Right, yeah. And that's pretty much all the time we have on today's program. But thank you so much, Jay, for coming on. Don't forget, everybody, you can follow him on Twitter at Anarcho Inc. I'm at What am I at? I'm on Twitter. It's Rod Jones. Look me up. And Anarcho, I believe it's anarchoinc.com, correct?
Yep, anarchoinc.com.
Anarchoinc.com has his podcasts. Occasionally he'll write an article on there. Really interesting stuff. And also merch, right?
Yeah, anarchocoffee.com. You can get some merch. There's ebooks, tons of stuff. Come check us out, Anarcho Inc. That's
and,
A.
Right,
sorry,
go
that's
go ahead.
A-N-A-R-C-H-O-I-N-C.com, anarchoinc.com.
Right, and my website, or and our website as usual, is bipartisanmedia.com. Real quick before you go, Jay, I saw that one of your websites you have is, I believe you're launching some sort of beer company, is that correct?
Yeah, that's the idea of Anarcho Inc. Buds, Brews, Beans, and Bitcoin. So your buds, anarchocbd.com. Your beans, anarchocoffee.com. Your brews will be anarchobeer.com. It's coming soon, probably 2020, hopefully before our next presidential candidate. And then all of our businesses gladly supports and believes in the power of cryptocurrency.
All right, sounds good to me. Thank you, Jay, and let's close it out then. We'll see you next time, everyone. This has been Jonesing for Liberty. I've been Rod Jones. Joining me today was Jay from Anarcho Inc. Don't forget to check him out. Check out Bipartisan Media. And we'll see you next time.